Now it's time for real fashion on Pop Off with Mary Jane Pop.
And you better believe it's always going to be a passionate day when we talk on Pop Off. Have we got some information for you today on the show? It is something, again, to better your life. That's what we're all about. And if we can't make that difference, then what's the sense even getting up in the morning to do anything? But that's what we're going to try and do on Pop Off today. Like, when you walk down the aisles at the supermarket and you're checking out the labels, can you really believe what is on those labels? Well, the answer to that is no, and you'd better watch out, because when they say low fat, no fat, trans fat, this fat, no fat, some of this stuff you got to be really, really careful of. And Dr. Aziz is going to join us later to give us some really excellent information. Now, I don't have to tell you that we've got a heat wave going on across the country. Everybody that I talk to, whether it's back in New York or Chicago or British Columbia, it doesn't make any difference. I am finding out it is hot. It is just miserable. And God forbid, but it's happening. People are dying. You know, this is awful. But also taking care of your plants and your garden and all that kind of stuff. When it's this hot, it's overbearing. Things are dying. You can't keep up with things. Well, hopefully we can give you some tips that might be able to help. Because, you know, we all take pride in our gardens, right? And, you know, when it starts burning and drying up, you start wondering, what the heck am I going to do? We can give you some good ideas for that. But before we get to that one, this is one that I think is going to absolutely blow you away. We all have our dreams. We dream about what we want to be. We dream about what we want to accomplish. We have a passion for all the things that we do in life. Every single day when we get up in the morning, you know, we plan our day and we know what those goals of the day are going to be. However, the question is this. Are we planning too much? I'm serious. Are we saying we're trying to force life and force things on life? Well, maybe, just maybe, we can make a little difference on the show today that just might surprise you. Like, hang in there with us on Pop Off. Drive that dream weaver train and we get aboard and we hope for the best, but sometimes it does happen and sometimes it doesn't happen. So your dream, what is it? You want to lose weight? You want to make more money? You want to be successful in your career? Stop trying so darn hard, says Galil, author of Professional Dreamer. Now she says it's easier than you think. And step one is you have to stop trying to make things happen. Galil, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you so much. Hello and good morning.
Well, you know, you're right. And it's so funny because in all the years that I've done radio and television, it's been like over 30 years. And, you know, the harder you try, it seems the behinder you get. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I think so many of us we're getting to the point where we actually are saying, I'm sick and tired of trying so hard, and quite simply, I'm tired of trying, and it's a great thing because, you know, the easiest thing to remember is trying really rhymes with lying. We're lying to ourselves. You're either doing or you're not doing, but trying is not a full commitment, and trying rhymes with crying. And I always say to myself, if I hear myself say I'm trying, I know I'm crying because I'm not doing. And really, that's all it takes. It takes a decision. And everything starts with a decision. Everything.
You know,
the moment you decide, you move providence. It absolutely engages a divine force that works for you.
But Galil, you know, the people sitting out there, and myself included, are going to say, yeah, but Galil, you know, nobody knocks on your door. You've got to go out there and do some legwork yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. We are, you know, we're a total package. We are our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. But this is where it begins. You know, instead of constantly saying, I'm trying, which is spinning our wheels, we want to start by making a decision. And what happens when we make that decision is two things. We start identifying all of what's holding us back, all of what's keeping us swimming upstream repeatedly and never getting to the other end. And we become very clear about what we do want. So often saying we're trying over and over again is really an excuse. It's a way to avoid focusing on what it is we truly love and want for ourselves.
But Galil, let me ask you a quick question then. What's the difference then, what you're saying is to know what you want, so what's the difference between professional dreaming and, say, positive thinking or visualization of what I want?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we look at positive thinking and visualization in general, very much like a technique or something we do, rather than a way of living. So we go and sit down for an hour and we visualize, or we meditate, or we pray. But the thing is, life is being created minute to minute. So we can't just go sit down for an hour and say to the universe, to God, to higher level energy, to the world, to ourselves, this is what I want. But then for the next 23 hours, when I go back to thinking and feeling and acting ineffectively, completely ignore me. So professional dreamer is telling you so simply, in a manner of speaking, don't think, just do. Do these six incredibly simple things, and they will get you to where you want to be.
You say
minute
six,
to minute.
Six things? Six things, you're saying.
Yeah, it's really, as I said, starting with a decision and finding out all of what's holding us back. And the trick there is so much of what's holding us back is habit. We just don't even notice we're doing certain things. You know, when I started this, someone looked at me and said, do you realize you start and finish every sentence with, I'm sorry? And I turned around and said, oh, I do, I'm sorry. Of course. And we walk around, we say, I can't, and I'm fat, and I'm heavy. And we say these things over and over until we change who we are, our definition of who we are. Nothing else changes.
Well,
we have
you know
to
what
get
I call
at
that,
those
Galil?
Things that are,
I
yeah,
call that negative thinking.
Very much. And
yeah.
It can be, you know, it sometimes isn't necessarily negative, but it's thoughts that right now don't serve you. And, you know, this is really about making it possible to have your every thought, every emotion, every action serve a purpose and a place in the construction of the life you want minute to minute throughout the day. You just shift and become a different person, a very productive person. Positive, yes, but much more productive.
Okay, so we start with step one, which is pointed thought. In other words, get that idea in your mind as to what you really, really want. That's step number one. You said step number two is the desire. Now, isn't this the same thing as having a passion for something?
Yeah, desire is a wonderful process, and we often think of it as, you know, a goal or something down the road. My desire is for a car. My desire is for, you know, less weight. But really, desire is a process that allows you to find out about your will. What is it you're asking for in your life? What is it you actually believe? Not what you were told you should believe, not what you ought to believe,
mm-hmm.
or what's right or what's going to fix the situation, but what you actually believe and expect of yourself, others, life, what you love in your life. And this is amazing, really, to completely know yourself and be focused on the things you truly want in life, because many of us right now, we're trying too hard, we're swimming upstream because we're going after wants. We're going after fear-based wants, things that don't at all benefit our lives, but we've been taught we should want these things.
Yeah.
We should go for these things.
Now, is there a difference between your professional dream and perhaps what you have to do to make a living every day?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, the best thing for me, what was so precious about this, is it's minute to minute. In every single minute, it's like strapping on a toolkit, and in any minute of the day, you know exactly what to think, feel, and do to keep your thoughts absolutely productive. And when you do that, miracles happen, because that's the natural way of life. That's the way we should live. It's effortless. You wake up and you simply stay focused on what it is that you truly want, and truly want, not, again, what you've been told you should want. And it just flows effortlessly. You see signs constantly. This comes your way. That comes your way. You literally do move providence. You know, there's an incredible greater force out there that will just work on your behalf.
Well, now let me ask you, let me use a kind of a personal thing here, because I think that's how each one of us needs to do this. We need to personalize what we're talking about. Suppose I get up every morning, and which I have for a long time, and my dream is always what I'm doing right now. I'm communicating, I'm sharing information, hopefully making life better for other people, giving them new ideas, new concepts, new ways to life. This is my dream, has always been my dream, always will be my dream. But there are going to be stumbling blocks along the way. You know, so do we just say, hey, that's all part of life, and just kind of circumvent it and go around it?
Oh, absolutely. There's always challenges. There's always moments of, you know, you might even have three choices, and they're all fabulous choices, but they're nonetheless overwhelming. And it's like climbing a ladder. You know, the higher we go, the bar is raised, and we still have challenges. We still have things that will help us learn and grow. The difference is, we know that every experience is a reflection of what's going on inside, and it's a chance to grow. And it's exciting. It's never overwhelming in a negative sense. It's, ooh, what can I learn here? This is amazing. And you move through it quickly, really quickly. And again, you know the steps to do so easily, you know, rather than fighting it. You know how to just surrender to it, knowing that I do this, I stay focused on my dream and my purpose in life, and this will just sort out in the best possible way for everybody.
What's your purpose
in life? There is a higher power there.
What is your professional dream?
Pardon me?
What is your professional dream?
Oh, I'm very much as you. I'm dedicated completely, of course, to sharing this, because for me, my very first dream was to heal, because I was, you know, to be very blunt, on death's door, and no organs worked anymore, and I had incredible scarring throughout my bladder, my kidneys, my liver didn't work. It was very difficult to move. I had people having to feed and look after me. I lost my hair. And in that state, I learned to make a decision. Either you're going to try, you're always going to be a sick person trying to get better, or you are going to say, as tough as it is when it hurts, to say, I'm healthy, and become that. And I had the tools to become that. And that's why this is so much my dream, to see that everybody has those tools. This is just so simple. It's almost laughable.
Well, sometimes the simplest things are the most difficult.
Miraculous.
Yeah, but so, you know, you got to be honest about this, Khalil. Sometimes the simplest things are the most difficult, because we try to make them bigger than what they are. And you have a thing that you call true print. What do you mean by true print?
Yes, you couldn't have said a truer statement. We do tend to complicate things, but it really is that simple. A true print is fantastic. It is the practical means to really feel and really connect with your sense of source. So if that's God for you, this is how you really feel that connection and can put that into words every day. It brings you to define your truth, to reproduce it in words that matter to you and make sense to you, and words that you can put into emotion and action and give to others and live and cultivate every single day of your life. And it just puts you on an entirely higher level of energy.
Hmm. You also have one, and this one I wasn't quite sure I understand. It's called demonstration.
Yes, demonstration is fantastic. And demonstration really is about this. You simply act out portions of your dream or desire that you can immediately experience. So it's not about pretending. If, let's say, you want a relationship, you might go and open the newspaper and just circle some of your favorite movies. That's a way of demonstrating your interest in a relationship. You might look around your apartment today or your home and see that you've made absolutely no room for someone else to come into your life. So you might clean a little and do a bit of physical clearing that is in step one. So demonstration is really saying, are you truly prepared to live differently? You know, so many people win $1 million and they're worse off a year down the road.
Oh, yeah.
They're still prepared to handle that new life.
It is amazing at the horror stories when people get a lot of money and they don't know how to handle life anymore. But you know, one thing that I think is so important and probably at least kicks off everything. I had a friend who's a writer, and she's done a lot of things on the business end and about money. But she talks about a thing called the monkey mind, the monkey mind. It is so busy that it does not focus on anything. So I think what you talk about when you say mental cleansing is really important, because you got to clear all those cobwebs out of there.
Oh, yes, and the most amazing thing about this process is you completely learn, A, how do I identify what I truly want in life, who I truly am. You get extremely clear on I am. You know, if you take out a piece of paper today and write I am and just describe who you are in a paragraph, you'll see quite a difference after this process. It is, as you said, some of the simplest things, very, very complicated, and you'd grow into who you are so clearly that everything just flows from that. You're so authentic and so true, and money and everything becomes actually a product of giving.
Now, can you
learn
be
to
more
give
than one
who
thing?
You are to the world minute to minute. You're unique. You're fantastic. You are unique among all other creatures. You can think and think about yourself thinking. You're so unique, and you'll assemble the elements of creation completely differently than I will. And once you start giving that to the world, what is so uniquely you, the world responds. You know, we even say in business, people buy you. Well, people buy your passion. They buy your love and your will and your belief and your expectation. But how often in life do we take the time to know all of that for ourselves, to even be able to say, what am I expressing?
Well, and can
today
we be more than one thing?
Thoughts, emotions, or actions.
Galil, can we be more than one thing?
Pardon?
Can we be more than one thing?
Oh, absolutely. And oh, that's an amazing question, because, you know, we might set an intention and have a dream of $1 million, but the universe, all the energy that makes up this entire universe, it doesn't look at the packaging. It looks at the ingredients inside, your talents, your passion, your joys. So you can be many things. You can tie it up in many packages you can be homemaker and tennis player and car maker and $1 million maker and successful and wealthy and all these things. But inside, the ingredients that make these things are your talents and your passion and your will and your joy and your bliss. And that's why when we get at that, really, all we ever have to do is focus on one dream, and the universe will just bring abundance to every area of our life.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It opens up the whole universe and other possibilities maybe that we haven't even thought about, especially things like, do you have a website? We want to make sure they know you have a website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Please do go to the home site. You can download a free 90-minute ebook, and that gives a lot of information that will help people to get started. And you just enter your name and email. That's it. It's free. And it's at www.professionaldreamer.com.
Well, I think this is the way to do it. We all have to have a dream. We all have a purpose in life. We already know that. But unless you have that dream to complete that professional idea or the passion in your life, then it doesn't really make any difference. And I think what you're saying makes perfectly logical sense. And, you know, logic is what we need a little bit of life, put our feet on the ground, solidly on the ground.
Thank you very much.
Galil, thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off, and keep up the good work. We need all the positives we can get.
Thank you.
Take care now. Again,
bye-bye.
That's Galil, and Galil is spelled G-H-A-L-I-L, Galil. Beautiful name, G-H-A-L-I-L. The name of the book, again, Professional Dreamer. And you know what? I think we're all professional dreamers. But you have to know, you've got to go deep inside, like she said, and find out who you are and what you want out of life, and write it down and be sure that you follow that dream. But again, don't spread yourself too thin and don't do all these negative things. We all do it. I get in front of the mirror and I go, oh, I need to lose a little weight. My tummy looks a little big. Or, gosh, I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish with the show today, right? Didn't. Don't do all those. Don't do the shouldn'ts, wouldn'ts, couldn'ts, all those kinds of things. Because you're going to go around life saying, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't have gone this. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said this. Because you're going to have a really shitty day. Trust me. Anyway, again, that's professionaldreamer.com. Professionaldreamer.com. Dream on. You can on Pop Off. Now, coming up, we're going to be talking about the New York City diet, the NYC diet. But more than the diet itself, I want to talk a little bit about when you go down the aisles at the grocery store and you see the no-fat and the no-fat trans-fat and the low-fat. And there's so many terms anymore, we don't even understand what they mean. And if we don't understand what they mean, then how are we going to stay healthy? How are we going to lose weight? All those kinds of things. We're going to be talking with Dr. Aziz on Pop Off because he has the clues. He has the keys. And maybe help us out so that we can read those labels for what they really are.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her head. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up vibration. She's giving me meditation. I'm picking up good vibration. She's my excitation. I'm good.
tell you, we do have some good vibrations, but those vibrations have to come from within. I am so serious about this. It has to be that positive thing that we were talking with Galil about. But when we do find what we want in life, suppose it is to lose weight. Suppose that is your dream. I mean, a lot of people, and we do have an obesity problem in this country, let's be very honest about it. But when you go down the aisles in a grocery store and it says no fat, low fat, no trans whatever, no cholesterol, what does it all mean? And is there truth in advertising at all? Well, supermarket shelves are jammed with confusing and misleading labels. And Dr. Michael Aziz, the pioneer of the NYC diet, says diet trends are you ready for this, folks? Are you sitting down? They're called myths. He's a board-certified physician, and he claims the low-fat diet led to, this is incredible, twin epidemics, obesity and diabetes. Dr. Aziz, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you for inviting me.
You know, it's incredible. We do see these things. There's low fat, no trans fat, fat free. What does this all mean? I don't even know if I understand what the heck it all means.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, when the cholesterol theory came in place about 40 years ago, it was believed that fat in general as a became a macronutrient that is dangerous to us. And this came before doctors knew that there are good fats and bad fat. So unfortunately, this led to the low-fat craze and made people leave natural food that we ate for thousands of years, and we started eating more processed food. And this low-fat product is the cause of our problem because they tend to be high in sugar. So many of the stuff that you find in the supermarket that is labeled fat-free and low-fat is exactly the food that we should avoid because it's filled with sugar, it's filled with high fructose corn syrup, which is worse than sugar, it has dangerous substances that we never ever ate in our lives. It has dyes, it has chemicals, it's really processed food. And this is really the root of our problem, that we're following a low-fat diet when, in fact, that fat is good for us. The only fat that people should avoid are the hydrogenated fat or margarine and the man-made fat.
Oh, and see, that's the whole thing. We get very confused because there was a time when they said, oh, my God, don't you dare eat butter. You should eat only the margarine. And then they said, don't eat sugar. And they said, well, now, wait a minute. You have the natural sugars. That's okay. And then they said,
it is very confusing.
And
that's exactly what I try to do in my upcoming book, is to identify and to explain to the public exactly what are the good fats and the bad fat. And unfortunately, the low-fat craze started before we knew that there are good fats and bad fat, and the good fats are the natural one. So to make it easy to the listeners, if it's natural, it's probably good. If it's man-made, you probably should avoid. So butter definitely is quite healthy, and unfortunately, butter is condemned even by the American Heart Association till now, when in fact it's a good fat that prevents heart disease. There are a lot of good fats, also even saturated ones, that they always tell us not to eat, like dark chocolate that even prevents heart disease,
mm-hmm.
nuts, olive oil, avocados. These are healthy fat. The fat that people should avoid are, believe it or not, is what the medical establishment is recommending, are the man-made vegetable oil that are used in the fast food industry in, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. All these fats are hydrogenated oil that they hydrogenate this way. They can allow the oils to be heating and to cook the French fries for a prolonged period of time, for weeks before they change.
Well,
and this is the fat that people should avoid.
And even when you get stuff like French fries, which I know are not too good for us to begin with, we find out that they put sugar in it. And who knows, you know? You wouldn't think about putting sugar in French fries, but they do.
Well, really, people should avoid to limit their sugar intake, because really sugar is very bad for us. Men hardly ever ate sugar. I mean, in the Ice Age, there were hardly even fruits on the trees. So I think that people should limit their sugar intake. And again, hydrogenated fat are what people should avoid.
Now, what about, you know, the one thing I like is what you said in the flyer that you sent me. You said, do not eat any products with ingredients you can't pronounce. And I like that.
Yes, because these are man-made chemicals. You see, processed food loses its taste. It doesn't have any good taste. So the food manufacturers have to add up ingredients and chemicals that probably people don't know how to pronounce. And this is what keeps its taste, to make it as natural as possible, but it's man-made. And probably the stuff, we don't know what the long-term effects are. So people should not eat any processed food. And if I ever do that, and I tell my patients, they have to read all the ingredients. They cannot go by labels, because labels are misleading.
What is this thing called low carbs with soy protein isolate?
Oh, God, that's horrible.
What is
you know?
That?
You know, I go this with my patients, one patient after the other, and that's finally I decided to write my book. The problem is that people have given up on low fat. They listen to other low carb diets and they realize, oh, you know what? I think low fat is against our genes, so let's follow a low carb. The problem that the food manufacturers now, to cash in on the misinformed, they started this low carb products, which are also man-made, and they have the soy protein isolate. After they extract the soybean oil for all the fast food, they're left with so much protein, they don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the soy protein is treated with a lot of chemicals, with nitrites, which have been implicated in cancer. They treat with, you know, MSG, and then they put them in the low-carb shakes, and they put them in the low-carb chocolates. So they got rid of the sugar, but they give us something that's probably worse.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I mean, they actually opened up stores that have only low-carb stuff, and it's like, please, isn't that an extreme?
Absolutely. And low-carb also products are not very healthy because protein, eating a lot of protein is not good. Eating a lot of protein is probably good for somebody who works out. My advice to your listeners and to my patients that I've been given for years is to eat a balanced diet with good carbs. The good carbs are whole grain, vegetables, and fruits. Good protein choices that don't have any chemicals, like we're talking poultry and fish, and good fats, like natural fat, like, again, like chocolate, butter, extra virgin olive oil, avocado, but stay away from hydrogenated fat.
What about meat?
Red meat is very controversial in literature, but it does seem that red meat is linked to colon cancer and prostate cancer if people eat a lot of it. So it's good to eat red meat maybe once every 3 weeks or so, but not on a daily basis. Again, it's better to stick with poultry or fish. The only one who should avoid fish is somebody who's pregnant or planning to become pregnant.
Why?
Because of the risk of mercury, you know, for the developing child, for the baby.
Yes,
but in general,
thing.
I think the benefits of fish outweigh any risk for the rest of the population.
Well, see, that's what bothers me, too, because I love fish. I really do. But it's like, you know, then I'm going to get the mercury in me. If I eat the beef, then I'm going to have the heart attacks or the whatever, or the prostate
cancer.
No,
the beef doesn't cause heart attack. The only thing is if people should eat red meat, they should do it every 3-4 weeks or so, and they should have the meat rare, not well done, because the cancer risk is rated if the meat is well done or burned or barbecued.
Really?
Yes, and definitely people should stay away from processed meat. A lot of my patients are getting away now from the low-fat stuff, and they started eating, you know, all those low-carb diets. They recommend bacon and sausage. All this processed meat is linked much more to cancer than red meat. We're talking the nitrites-containing products, the deli meats, the hot dogs, the bacon and sausage. Definitely if you eat pork or lamb, it should not be processed in any way. It should not have any chemicals.
You know, Dr. Aziz, whatever happened to, you know, eat what you want, when you want, but just burn more calories than what you take in and push away from the table once in a while. That was the exercise.
That is good, but also people should stay away anything from man-made because your body does not know how to use the foreign substance to us, which are in the processed food, the nitrites, we don't know how to use them. The high fructose corn syrup is burned into fat. All the chemicals, you know, the hydrogenated fat definitely are not metabolized. And people, if they eat in a fast food place, they gain weight very rapidly. So my advice to the listeners that people should, if they eat processed food, if they grab something from a deli or from a supermarket, they got to read all the fine prints for the presence of high fructose corn syrup, partially hydrogenated oil, the presence of nitrites, the product we just talked about, the name that you cannot pronounce, the artificial dyes, the colors, all that stuff should have no place in our diet.
Isn't it true? Now, this is my big fat opinion, so I'm going to give you my big fat opinion and see if you agree with me, okay? I think all diets work, and I think no diets work. I think you can lose weight on any diet that you do, but keeping it off is the reason that they don't work.
I think most people believe and most people fail in diets because they restrict calories, and I don't think it's a good thing to feel hungry all the time. My patients' success have been tremendous, and the reason is my advice is that countries that eat natural fat, think of the French, think of the Thai, don't have the weight problems we have here. Again, the French eat a lot of butter. They smoke, they don't work out, and they have a relative low incidence of heart disease because butter is quite healthy. They don't have the obesity rates that we have in the States, and that's, again, because of the low-fat recommendation. Our diet is full of sugar, high fructose corn syrup, cereal for breakfast, fat-free milk, juices, and all the stuff that we're not supposed to eat. And unfortunately, we're encouraged by, you know, a final advice by any doctor at the end is, like, follow a low-fat diet, even though that the science proves that low-fat diets do not work. And low-fat tends to make us more hungry. It spikes our insulin level. And we did not know that insulin level causes heart disease and is related to disease. So
now, you also say do not eat food items with secret spices. What do you mean by secret spices?
the food manufacturers, sometimes when people buy a product, they think, I'm going to buy this and it has spice. They think it's pepper or they think it's maybe, you know, garlic. But the truth is the food manufacturers can call any chemicals, they can call it spices. So you can think it's really garlic or, you know, or anything, any spice you would think of, but it's not really a spice. It's probably
really
a chemical ingredient.
Oh, wow. You know, and the labels, really, the packaging labels are so deceptive.
Can we talk about the government?
Yes, that's what I mean.
You know, the problem is the FDA is very lax in its rules. So you go to the margarine brands, and, you know, my patients come to see me and say, oh, I bought that margarine. It's that trans, no trans fat. I say, oh, the FDA has wrong and not accurate information. So according to the FDA, many food products that contain trans fat can say, misleading the consumer that they are trans fats free when in fact they contain trans fat. So you may eat like 2 crackers, 3 crackers, which according to the government they really have no trans fat, but you just ate like 2 grams of trans fats.
Oh my God.
And people don't eat sweet cookies, they usually eat more than that, you know?
You know the other word I can't stand? The word natural.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so people really should stay away from processed food. They should eat the food that our grandparents ate. Our grandparents, my grandmother ate eggs every day. She drank full-fat milk. She cooked on butter. She lived to be 87 years old. She never went to see a doctor.
Yeah.
The problem in the American diet that we thought now that cereals are better for us than eggs, which is not true. We think margarine is better than butter, which is not true. We think processed food filled with high fructose corn syrup is better than natural food. We think that shrimp is bad for us because it's high in cholesterol, when in fact is what's really the cause of our problem is eating too much sugar and processed food and hydrogenated fat.
Now, I got a funny feeling, Dr. Aziz, that if I ask you this question, you're going to say, absolutely. Do I have to pass up a Krispy Kreme for the rest of my life?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Do I have to pass up Krispy Kreme donuts forever?
I think donuts are bad for us because many of these cookies are really hydrogenated again.
Mm.
So I think what you have to do is you have to make your own cookies. It's very much you really have to limit the amount of sweets that you eat on a daily basis. And if you do eat like cookies, you better cook them at home with real butter.
There you go. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, people are their time is stretched so far that after a while they say, there's no way I can do all this by myself.
Yeah, but, you know, you can make easy choices. I mean, I just had lunch right now. I'm in New York. You know, I just grabbed a chicken sandwich on whole grain bread, and I had a salad. I did not get, like, you know, French fries in a fast food place. I did not get, like, potato chips. I just, you know, tried to eat a salad with extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
You know, with lemonade, rather than having a soda.
Now, the NYC diet, how is it different?
Well, the New York City diet is a diet that I came up with 8 years ago, and I wrote a book. It's going to come soon, and people can go to the website, www.newyorkcitydiet, and it's a balanced diet that tells people what is healthy and what is not, and it's about eating a balanced diet with higher amounts of fat. So the message in my book, believe it or not, is to eat a balanced diet, not a low-fat, not a low-carb, and again, to increase the fat intake rather than decrease it, which is opposite to the medical establishment advice, and I want the listeners to eat the good fats, which we talked about, avocados, nuts, put extra virgin olive oil on the salad rather than a low-fat salad dressing with high fructose corn syrup, to cook with butter, stay away from the fast food industry with the hydrogenated fat, stay away from margarine, stay away from processed foods, stay away from sweets, eating chicken and fish every day, again, as the main protein sources, and staying away from anything man-made.
Be honest with me, Dr. Aziz. Is it true that, you know, some people are never going to be thin, no matter what you do, unless you starve yourself to death, and you have to kind of fall into what your body says is right for you?
I don't think so. You know, I just came from Europe, and, you know, I just came from England and Holland, and really their diet is not that healthy. But what I really notice is that they're very much fit. They don't have the weight problem we have. And, again, this is related to the amount of exercise that they do. They may be eating the wrong food, but they do exercise a lot. People in Holland, I saw them, like 75-year-olds, you know, riding bicycles. We don't have that here. And I think it's lack of exercise together with our poor diet, together with the sugar and high fructose corn syrup and the hydrogenated fat, that's the root of our problem, is not eating too much butter, really.
Really, yeah. And the other thing, too, is it stimulates or does not stimulate the brain accordingly, too, because it's not only the body that's going to go down, that's an organ that's going to be affected by everything that you eat, too.
Absolutely. When people follow a low fat, high in sugar, they can even get nervous. That's what they call it, like, you know, I'm getting a sugar rush. They can feel, you know, agitated. When their sugar level falls down, they feel anxious, and they feel more hungry, then they want more sugar. I mean, if I cheat on my diet and I have a croissant for breakfast, or I have a bagel that is a white bagel for breakfast rather than a multigrain bagel, I'm, like, hungry within 1 hour, and that's the root of our problem.
There you go. And like you said, then you'll take something like a Snickers bar, and it'll give you a high, but man, wait till you hear that
crash right away.
Down.
Absolutely. There are a lot of sweets that people can have. If you have a sweet tooth, I recommend to my patient eating dark chocolate that you can get from, like, Whole Foods or something with very little sugar. That's a great dessert. It's good for your heart. You can have a full-fat yogurt with berries. That's also very healthy. People can buy, like, coconuts from a health food store and put some fruits on it. That's a great dessert. That's really if you, like, you know, really like sweets and stuff. So that's a healthier choice than eating a, you know, a donut.
Good stuff. Now, the website again is the New York, is it the
New York City Diet.com? Yes.
Okay, so the word the is in there.
It's www.newyorkcitydiet.com, and people can go on the press room and they can read more information about the diet and about healthy information that they can use in their daily lives.
And New York City Diet available all over?
No, yeah, it's on the internet, but the book is not out yet. It's going now in the second run of editing, so hopefully it'll be out soon.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Dr. Aziz, thanks for the advice. You know, we got to try and keep people as healthy as possible because, like you said, I cannot believe the obesity in our country and the diabetes that goes along with it.
Absolutely.
And I thank you so much for being with us. Come back anytime.
Thank you very much.
Take care now. Staying well. You know, that's what we got to do on Pop-Off. That's what I try and give you, as many good informational tidbits as I possibly can. And again, that website is newyorkcitydiet.com, newyorkcitydiet.com. And it does have good information. It is the basics. It's going back to the basics. But again, it's not eliminating a lot of things in life. That's we always were, oh, I don't want to give this up. Oh, I don't want to give that up. Oh, my God, if I have to give this up, I can't survive. You know, you'd be surprised how you can survive when you do give up certain things and focus on other, the more positive things. It's a new way to look at weight on Pop-Off and health. It's not only for your weight. That's the amazing thing in this whole thing. It's not only about losing weight or being fit and trim and looking like the magazines, you know, all the wonderful, beautiful models, both men and women, in the magazines, but it's also having a better life for yourself. Talking about a better life, with this heat wave that we have had and are continuing to have, West Coast, we're still sizzling. We really are. This is the 10th record day, and normally we have what they call sea breezes that kick in the evening. We have not had any sea breezes. I don't know where they went, but I think they went back out to sea, and they're not coming back inside or inland at all. But what about your garden? What's happening out there? Are things burning up and drying up? There are things we have to really, really take a look at, and I want to make sure that you have some good tips that will make you, give you some ideas so you don't have to work too hard and keep your garden looking wonderful. Well, it's time to know your home, and more explicitly today, knowing your garden because of what's happening out there with all the terrible weather that we've got. And I don't mean terrible. We always have heat, but, you know, heat is one thing, and then sizzling to the point of drying out and not being able to survive anymore is something else. So we want to save you some bucks because it costs a whole lot of money when you have to replant things, and add to the beauty, efficiency, and value of your home and your garden, too. And the man to know and in the know is our own Pop-Off Knowing Your Home guy, Roger Santos. Hey, Roger.
How you doing, Mary Jane?
Well, I'm doing fine. Well, I'm sweating, you know? What his face does, the sweating to the oldies?
That's about right.
Richard
Anything
Simmons,
you do out
well,
there
I'm
can be
sweating to the
old.
Newies. You know, it's like unbelievable stuff. This heat is incredible, and it is murder on the garden.
Yes, it is. It is. In fact, one of the things I'm hearing a lot about right now is my leaves on my tree, my deciduous trees, they're turning yellow and they're falling off. What's going on here? And what can I do about this? Obviously, we don't want this to be happening until the fall, but what happens is your trees tend to want to survive, obviously, through this heat, so they dump whatever is the big source of draw, and they dump their leaves to protect themselves. One of the other things that they do, and you may notice, is the roots start to go a little higher in the ground. They're coming to the surface looking for any moisture, dew, overnight, whatever they can get.
Right.
But they're starting to come to the surface, and potentially, if it's near a driveway, walkway, whatever, there's going to be some damage involved. And so what I tell people is, ideally, in a lawn area and all the rest, you want every year to go through and basically aerate the entire lawn. This is a good process, but something that's a little more long-term and something that really helps the roots out, knowing that they will seek the water at the lowest levels, is drill some holes into the ground. There are some drill bit augers that are about a foot long or so, and they make about a one-inch diameter hole.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go around your yard and drill these in. Then take some PVC, about the same length as the auger, drill little holes throughout the PVC, slide it down into that hole. Now, when you water in that, and put a cap on the end, when you water, what happens is the water will go into the pipe at the point of least resistance to that dry ground, and it will sit in there and then feed the water, and it will allow the water to be getting down way deep, and that will keep moisture in the ground deeper, and the roots will go for that.
How far around that area does it put the water into the ground, though?
Well, it'll put the water down as far as the point at which you drilled.
Oh, okay.
The idea is that you want to saturate the ground deep down to help the roots migrate back that way.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you get the roots hanging up, spitting up over your lawn and punching its way through, or tearing up the concrete in the driveway or something.
Yeah. So well, you're setting up an irrigation system is what you're doing.
In a way, you really are. So when you water, you're getting the benefit of not only watering, which you should always do at night, whenever it's dark out, so you lose as little water to evaporation as possible. But
yeah, I cannot believe I saw a neighbor the other day when I was out for my walk.
Uh-huh.
And it happened I was out about 11 o'clock, but it was closer to 12 o'clock than 11 o'clock. And they were watering their lawn. It's like, what are you trying to boil it?
Yeah. Well, it's doing two things. It's magnifying, of course, the light, which is burning the grass. And two, it evaporates so quickly that it really doesn't do the ground a whole lot of good. So you're really losing a lot of the potentiality of the water that you're doing.
Now, you also mentioned, before we went on the air, something called a paver, P-A-V-E-R.
Paver.
What is that?
Well, pavers, I like pavers, and the reason I had brought that up is kind of a segue in. If indeed you're having problems with these roots, the dry season is there, it's starting to lift up the concrete and crack it and whatnot. This has basically been a product that's been around for hundreds of years, been in Europe a lot longer than the U.S. has picked up on it. But if you've noticed some driveways with brick-laid driveways, these are pavers.
Okay.
And they do them for walkways, driveways, etc. These are 4-inch blocks of concrete that are pressure heated and cooked and are extremely strong. But what really makes this a tremendous deal to put in place of just pouring concrete is twofold. One, they're much stronger. Two, they have an array of appeal as far as their looks and colors and grades and shapes, so you get a great curb appeal. But bigger than that, actually the third point that I didn't count on was, you can actually lift out all of these bricks, remove the appendage, the root that is causing the uplift and all that, put the bricks back, and you can't even tell that you've ever been there.
Oh, what a great idea.
From a maintenance standpoint, it's fabulous. And along with that irrigation concept, oftentimes people need to cross over a driveway or a walkway, and what they do is they break up the cement, they put in their pipe, they lay new cement. You can never blend the colors the same. It'll always look like there's a patch.
Yes.
This, you pull up the brick, you put in your pipe, you repair your pipe, whatever you're going to do, put the brick back, and again, it looks like you were never there.
Wow.
So it's functional, incredibly durable, beautiful to look at. All around, pavers are a tremendous asset to your home.
Gosh, you know, that's a great idea because you're absolutely right. I mean, once you put that cement down, you're stuck. I mean, you can't do a doggone thing underneath anymore.
You are, and if you stain your driveway with fluids from the car or whatever, you can bleach it out, but then it looks like you've got a bleach spot. There's just no recovery.
Now, you also said there's a thing, you called it a segmented retaining wall?
Right. And again, this comes along in the same vein as the pavestone. the segmental retaining wall is a curb appeal product. It also allows a lot of leaching of waters and that, so that you don't get buildup in fluid. Right now, we're not worried too much about that, but during the rainy season, what happens is people will put up a solid wall of some kind, and then you get static pressure behind that wall. That does a lot of damage. Segmented retaining walls are decorative bricks, custom designed to fit together so they can curve, be a straight line. They do a fabulous job with the retention of the dirt and whatever land you're trying to hold back or elevate. And it also allows seepage and allows that water to get out freely so that you don't have the kinds of damages that you potentially have with a solid wall or brick wall where you've mortared the whole thing shut. So from a drainage standpoint, it's a great way to relieve pressures of graded ground.
Now, the nice thing about it is all the things that you have mentioned, I mean, you can really do this in almost any part of the country that you're in. It doesn't have to be one segmented area.
Absolutely, and it has benefits in every region. We all deal with these problems. Some regions are freezing ground. You have problems there. Again, the pavers are incredibly resilient to any of that. You don't have to worry about pipes that freeze underneath because you can get to them. With the segmented retaining wall, again, heavy rain areas and that, your yard is going to not be soaking up and saturating and creating an underground path. Water will destroy and find a path of least resistance, and typically that's not where you want it to go.
Amazing. Any last minute? We got about a minute left here, so any last minute tips that we can just kind of have for this heat to be able to survive it and for our poor gardens to survive?
Exactly. Your gardens are your best bet against the heat. Anything that's green is going to help take up some of that heat, especially if it's around the house. The big problem here is people put in plants in that and then they water from a sprinkler system or something and it just shoots all over the house. You're losing a lot of water that way. You're damaging the house and the plants really aren't benefiting as much. Use a drip system. You've probably heard about it 100 times, but it is tremendously effective. Get the water where it needs to be and gets it down to the roots, and it saves you a ton of water, and you get much more effect from it.
Well, I would imagine, too, by the other kind of watering, you can actually damage the foundation of the house.
Absolutely. That water just sits there and pounds on the house. Two things. If it's a wood house, wood siding, you potentially could rot the wood because it just sits there and soaks it up and then wicks it inside and you could create a mold. But secondarily, the foundation, as long as that water is continually hitting the side there and that, the dirt erosion around the foundation, there are a number of possible issues, especially if you have a daylight basement or at least an under section of the house is not a slab. You can actually undermine the foundation and the ground around it. So drip systems are really, really, really great. Up to about 5 feet out, you can put very light drip systems in, five feet away from the house. Anything further than that, you can use some industrial, larger quarter or half-inch round PVC molded drip systems for around trees and around other bushes and that. They are really fabulous because they get the water down into the dirt, they get the water where it needs to be, and you're using far less water to do far more. Keep your plants green. They will help you.
Fantastic. As always, great ideas, Roger, for everyone out there, believe me. And if people want to know more about you or email you some questions, where do they go?
Absolutely. It's www.knowingyourhome.com.
Fabulous. And as always, Roger, good tips, good guy. Stay well. We'll talk with you next week.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Take care now.
Take care.
Giving you the best for lifestyle on Pop Off, that's what we try and do. Not only lifestyle, but life tools. Because life can really deal out some wacky stuff sometimes. So we want to make sure that you understand that your life can become a little bit dizzying. But nevertheless, we'll try and keep it stable for you on Pop Off every single day. We'll be back with you at high noon right here on BBS Radio and PopOff.com. We'll pop off with more topics for your life. In the meantime, please go to popoff.com. That's P-O-P-P-O-F-F.com for any of the information from the books, the people that we've had on the show, etc. Or if you can email me, I'll be glad to email you back. Let me know where you're emailing from, maryjane@popoff.com. And as always, in the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply. And above all else, you dare to dream. We do on Pop Off.
Mm-hmm.